You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Remember when hardly anyone knew about kale and how to prepare it? You know, long ago before it was made into chips and you couldn't find it in supermarkets. Well, there are plenty of worthy vegetables that you have heard of, but you also get little respect. And Dan Pashman thinks that broccoli should have its turn in the food spotlight. Dan, host of the Sporkful podcast, joins me now to share his broccoli enthusiasm. Welcome to our show.
Hi, Leonard.
We also invite our audience, if you have a favorite way of preparing broccoli, this is your chance to share it with us, either by calling 212-433-9692, or if you're shy, you can write us on our show page, or on Facebook, or you can tweet us, where our handle is at Leonard Lopate. Have you always been excited about broccoli?
I have always liked broccoli. Even when I was a kid, my mom used to just make plain old steamed broccoli, and I always enjoyed it then. I mean, it's quite possible that I dipped it into ketchup. but I do remember liking it. I always loved that crunch.
I always liked it, but my mother served it in a frozen block initially, the same as the cauliflower and the spinach. I liked them all, but it took me a long time to realize that you actually could buy it in a produce store, and it didn't come all frozen, and that you didn't have to thaw it down. And that obviously changed it. They were kind of mushy because of the fact that they've been frozen.
That's right.
Why do you think more people don't get broccoli? Some people may remember when George H.W. Bush said at a press conference, "I do not like broccoli. I haven't liked it since I was a little kid, and my mother made me eat it, and I'm president of the United States. I'm not going to eat any more broccoli."
People still reference that quote, the damage that he did to broccoli. It seems so unfair.
I always thought that spinach was the thing that kids weren't supposed to like, although I always thought spinach was pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's funny because, you know, when I worked as a producer on a public radio news program years ago, we used to actually call certain stories broccoli stories. And if we said that a story was a broccoli story, this is what we said in our show meetings, we would say to ourselves, well, if it's a broccoli story, what that basically meant was that the story is boring. It's difficult to make it palatable for the audience, but that there's this sort of feeling of guilt or obligation. Like we know that it's good for us. We're supposed to be covering this.
But broccoli tastes good.
I agree. I mean, I don't know what people's parents might have been doing to broccoli that put it off the rails. I mean, I think it has so much going for it that other vegetables just don't have.
Well, what would you serve it with? Would you serve it instead of other greens like spinach or kale?
Well, I think I try to think about a couple of the things that set broccoli apart and then try to gear recipes towards those strengths. So the two things that I think make broccoli so exciting are, first, its textural contrast. Most vegetables are going to be one consistency, however you cook them. Broccoli, by virtue of its stems and florets, can achieve two different consistencies in the same dish, which is exciting.
So you cook the stems as well? A lot of people put the stems in perhaps a soup stock or in the compost or just throw it in the garbage. But you cook them as well?
Absolutely. You can. The stems are 100% edible. It may help to peel them with a vegetable peeler. But a broccoli stem is not very different from a kohlrabi.
And what would you – when you say you cook them, are you mostly steaming them?
Steaming or – I mean, there's really so many different things that you can do with them. I mean, I as part of my episode of my podcast this week, I talked to Chef Tyler Cord of Number 7 Restaurant and Number 7 Sub here in the New York area. He has a new cookbook out called Broccoli. Just Broccoli. It's through this new publisher called Short Stack Editions, and they do one-ingredient cookbooks. And he has a recipe in there for pickled broccoli stems. So there's a lot of potential. I also tried his – he's got a roast beef with broccoli marmalade, which I made last night. That one was delicious, although I don't know that it needed broccoli per se.
He also makes a broccoli sub, and you did a video of that?
That's right. Folks can check that out at WNYC.org at your show page. Made it here with our friends at WNYC of him assembling the broccoli sub.
Now, how does he steam it?
He likes to keep it a straightforward steam. He likes to keep it on the crunchy side. For the sandwich, one of the things that I put a lot of thought into in general and that I had asked him about is sort of sandwich engineering. Because you got to put thought into how big you're going to cut up those pieces of broccoli before you put them into a sandwich. If they're huge, then the sandwich won't hold together. And if they're tiny, then you're not going to get that toothsome nature of the broccoli. So he sort of goes with a large but not huge size.
We have also posted the recipe along with the videotape. The videotape? Boy, I just dated myself, didn't I? Well, you know, I have a way of cooking broccoli that's very quick. And it works perfectly well. I know a lot of people have contempt for the microwave, but the microwave is great for steaming things. And for me, I cut up the broccoli, well, mostly florets, but I'll cut up some of the stem, put it in a bowl, a little bit of water, some butter, salt, and pepper, and then 2.5 to 3 minutes, and it's perfect. Just bring it out to the table.
Yeah. Do you cover it?
Yeah. I have to put a plate over the, right. The bowl, but that's pretty much it.
Yeah, my mother-in-law does it the same way. I think it's great that way. And another one of the things, maybe this is, to me, the greatest thing about broccoli, is that the florets are absorbent. They can absorb butter, as you say, olive oil, salt, or even just your classic chicken and broccoli from the Chinese takeout, which, you know, my wife can never get enough of that stuff. The way those florets absorb that brown sauce, I think, is something that is pretty unique to the vegetable world.
And then a lot of people like to eat them raw at parties. You often see them next to a dip, along with cauliflower and carrots and peppers. And they taste perfectly fine raw. So what do you think the problem? There is a problem for some people. There is a bit of a debate in the Haredi Jewish community over whether broccoli can be eaten with as part of a dairy meal.
Really? What's the argument there?
There are concerns that perhaps there are insects or something hiding in the florets, if I understand it correctly. And that would mean meat.
I see. That seems like I guess maybe the florets are a sort of especially a good place for an insect to hide, more so than any other fruit or vegetable.
But I've never seen an insect in any floret.
I do actually recall getting a worm in a farmer's market head of broccoli. But to me, that's just how you know that it's natural.
Let's take a call. We have Bob from Rego Park, Queens. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, guy? My question is this. You know, carrots you should boil for 20 minutes to get the nutrition out of the cell lining. Can you eat eating raw as opposed to steaming or to get the maximum nutrition? Or should you are they both equal way to get the maximum nutrition?
You know, I'd have to look into it a little more to tell you for sure, but I do know that there's a decent amount of debate in the nutritional community over the merits of raw versus cooked. I know that there are those people out there that say, eat everything raw, don't cook anything. My impression is that may be a somewhat extreme standpoint.
But you can overcook things and kill all the nutrients.
Absolutely.
And mushy broccoli is my least favorite way of eating it.
Well, it's so funny you say that because this chef, Tyler Cord, the big broccoli proponent, he actually says that he loves overcooked broccoli. He actually says he thinks that it's like the bone marrow of the vegetable kingdom. Maybe you're just not overcooking your overcooked broccoli enough, Leonard.
So how does he do that? Because you said that the sandwich, he uses crunchy broccoli.
That's right. He doesn't actually have it on his menu. He just talked to me about it as something – he mentions it in the cookbook as something he likes a lot. He said there's a pizzeria out in L.A. that has a pizza with what they call long-cooked broccoli because they probably didn't – they wouldn't sell many pizzas if they called it overcooked broccoli.
Well, I could see it on a pizza. Tell us about your recent experience on the Today Show with Matt Lauer. Was that stressful?
Yes. This is. It's much more relaxing to be here with you, Leonard. I've done a little bit.
I have a smaller audience, although probably more of them like good food.
That's probably right. Yes. It was stressful. I'd done live TV a couple of times before, but I had never cooked on live TV while also having questions thrown at me. So I was pretty nervous about that. And I mean, the amount of preparation that goes into 3.5 minutes on the Today Show, you know, boggles the mind. The number of phone calls and run-throughs and rerun-throughs, the evening before I had to be there to walk through it, the morning of to walk through it. And then a minute before I'm going on, they want to get a shot of me eating a buffalo wing. I eat the buffalo wing. They go to commercial and my hands are covered in sauce. and I go over to wash my hands, and they have one of these strong spraying sinks, and it sprays water all over my shirt. And I look down, and I also have buffalo sauce on my shirt, and the cameraman looks at me like, no, after all this prep. And then I hear someone yell out, 45 seconds. And then Matt Lauer walks in the door.
Had your shirt dried by then?
Well, I said, sorry, Matt, I got some stains on my shirt. And he was very gracious about it, but I wouldn't blame him if he was thinking, who is this moron they let on my show? It did not dry, but I said to him, fortunately, I had planned that in advance. I told my wife, I was sort of wearing an orange shirt. I said to my wife, if I get something on my shirt, I'm just going to tell them that that's why I wore this color shirt, so the buffalo sauce would blend in with the shirt. So that's what I said, and it ended up being a funny joke.
We have a call from Laura from Harlem. Hi, Laura, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you, Leonard?
I'm well. You like broccoli as much as I do?
Oh, my God. I mean, in my household, my father is Italian. My mother was Russian-Ukrainian. But she kind of always added broccoli to everything. I never understood why people didn't like it. For me, it was so deliciously presented all the time. My mother put it in polenta all the time. She'd make like a white polenta, the basic preparation being olive oil and garlic.
You could also put it in risotto.
In risotto, but she didn't really, that wasn't a thing. She made a porridge-style polenta like the Southern Italians and would make cavatelli with broccoli. And not broccoli rabe, but broccoli. American, like what she called the American broccoli. Broccoli rabe with sausage and cavatelli. And, I mean, it would just, broccoli casserole with cheddar cheese, more American dishes. But it was always added or aside, even just she'd blanch it slightly and then really, another style was affogato or choked, where she'd actually blacken it in the pan with garlic and olive oil.
Sounds great.
It was delicious.
Well, but let's talk a bit, Dan, about broccoli rabe. Broccoli itself is an American invention, isn't it? The broccoli that we're talking about?
I can't be sure of where it was literally invented, but yes, it is much, much more prevalent here.
And then broccoli rabe, and then there's a Chinese broccoli rabe. They are all, I'm assuming, members of the same family?
Yes, they're all cruciferous vegetables, that's right.
But they taste different.
Yeah, there's a pretty good amount of variety. I think that the broccoli rabe, if people haven't had Chinese broccoli, I think broccoli rabe is more similar to Chinese broccoli. Those two are very similar.
But Chinese broccoli is a bit more bitter than Italian broccoli rabe.
That's right.
But that's what makes it interesting in those Chinese dishes. So these things all, but they're all members of the same family. Would you just think that all broccolis, all the broccoli rabes, are also underappreciated?
In an interesting way, perhaps not only because those more high-end, I would call them high-end or gourmet ingredients like broccoli rabe or Chinese broccoli, are probably more often found in places where people may be more liable to appreciate it.
Jacob writes to us on Twitter, I throw it into my smoothie for health benefits, hiding the taste with berries and agave, or roast it with salt. And roasting broccoli is pretty good, too.
Absolutely.
It brings out the sugar in it, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. And I roasted some just last night. I used this stuff, which I just recently discovered. You may know it's called ketchup manis. It's an Indonesian sweet soy sauce. It is really delicious. I mixed a little bit of that up with the broccoli and roasted it for a long time till it really caramelized, and it was sort of sticky and chewy and crunchy.
Is there a time when broccoli is particularly in season?
Spring and fall. I mean, it's a hardy vegetable. It grows pretty well. If you're looking to plant it in your own garden, you may have just missed the window for a spring planting, although with this cold weather, maybe you'll get a reprieve. But if you plant it mid to late summer, you should get a nice crop for the fall.
We're pretty much out of time, but I wanted to sneak one more call in. Amy, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. So I'm crazy about broccoli, and I love to eat it roasted precisely because it does get so caramelized, and those little florets are these little lovely little crunchy bits. But I started roasting it after trying a Barefoot Contessa recipe, which she puts So she just throws olive oil and garlic onto the broccoli in the pan and lots of salt, and then at the end adds lemon juice, parmesan, and pine nuts. You could use any nuts. It's delicious.
That sounds delicious. And I think that, you know, again, you get into the absorbency of the florets, the lemon juice, get it soaking into those florets is going to, that's just something that very few vegetables are going to do quite so well.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that because I was, you know, I've been eating a lot of it and I was, and that really resonated with me.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Now, there's also such a thing as broccoli marmalade. What's that?
That's a dish from Tyler Cord's Broccoli Cookbook, which folks can find at shortstackeditions.com. And it's a marmalade. That's where I learned of this ketchup manis, this Indonesian sweet soy sauce, that he does it there with some – he puts it on a roast beef sandwich with pickled red onion, which was – it was a very delicious recipe. I'd be honest, in that particular dish, I think that the broccoli – I lost the broccoli a little bit, but it still added a nice textural component.
I understand that your podcast has been nominated for a James Beard Award.
That's right, yeah.
Good luck.
Thank you, thank you. It was last year, so oh. I already found out that I didn't win. But
I don't want to make you feel bad. But
no, that's all right.
This show has won 3 James Beard Awards.
Oh.
Dan Pashman is the host of the Sporkful podcast, which listeners can find at sporkful.com. And I want to thank you so much for being on our show today. By the way, a reminder that we have a recipe for a broccoli sandwich and a video of how it is assembled on our show page at WNYC.org.